Pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. Nathan, it's been a week since you've had the 40K rulebook. Do you still feel the same way, or have things changed?
You know, because I haven't had a game yet, I'm going to say that things feel the same. No, as of this week was crazy. I was supposed to get a game of Firestorm in, and then it fell through. So, yeah, I don't know. I kind of stopped by on the gaming night, and it was packed because everyone was kind of trying to get a game in. So yep. It'll happen. It'll happen when it happens.
No doubt.
But no, like I said, I still feel like this is my opinion of 40K hasn't changed from 6th to 7th. It's still a game where you really have to police your opponent and make sure you're not playing with a complete and total dickbag. But I feel like it's an improvement still.
Well, I would say that it's an improvement. I don't think anyone's going to argue that they've made the game worse. I had a few people complaining about psychic powers, which we'll kind of talk about a little bit in the show, as that is the main topic for the show. Mm-hmm. But why don't we dive right into what we're drinking.
Okay.
And then we'll go weekly listener poll, because that kind of keeps with the conversation.
Sure.
So I'm drinking Hopped Meat again from Fallen Timber. Nathan, I assume it's the Uge.
Yes, it is. Well, you know, while you were finishing your game of League of Legends, I was downing my first one, so now I'm on to number two.
Sweet.
With us starting, so it should be good drunken times.
Yeah, I had a scotch after I got home, and I was like, yep, I'm ready to go.
Oh, yeah, I had a terrible cider while I was out. See, I hate cider, but sometimes you go somewhere, I'm like, I would like to drink alcohol. All you have is beer that will hurt me and this one terrible cider. Yeah, I guess I'll have a cider. I just want alcohol right now, and this is all you have.
I think that's the only reason why any normal person drinks cider.
Yeah.
All right.
Always disappointing.
The question that we had for you guys was, has the new edition of Warhammer 40K made you want to actually play games of 40K again? This was exactly what I thought it would be. A lot of people begrudgingly voting yes, and a slight majority voting no. And I think it's just because the resounding viewpoint I've heard from the game is that everybody's like, I guess it's okay. Like, maybe it'll be really crazy good. But everyone is so tentative about it or so indifferent about it. I think it's hard for people to actually want to play games again. If they had previously stopped. So we had 52% said no, 48% said yes. Nathan, are you surprised by these results?
No, I'm not. I knew it was going to be right down the middle as well. And honestly, you know, like I said, they're so close that it's just like, oh yeah, sure. The no's take it barely.
Right.
You know, so no, I'm not that surprised because again, when you look at 7th edition 40K, it is 6.1. We talked about it. This isn't even 6.5. They haven't made enough changes for it to change the game dramatically.
Right.
If you can get past their atrocious army composition rules, this is a fantastic rule set, probably the tightest out there. Like, I would say that if we're not talking about army composition and just gameplay rules, this is much tighter than Firestorm Armada 2nd Edition, which is a very good set of rules.
Yeah.
You know, this is tighter than, you know, Bushido that I play. You know, so like I said, the rules themselves make for a very fun, very enjoyable game, but then Games Workshop can, you know, continuing on this theme of play whatever you want, whenever you want, really just kind of drops the ball for your typical pickup game. And I think that's the big problem. And like, you know, if you have a lot of people that you know and they want to play 40K the way you want to play 40K, this edition is going to be great. Because, you know, as I was saying at the tail end of 6th, I'm screening my games.
Right.
Like, I'm never going to go to a 40K tournament. You know, like I said, never, because there's too much possibility of me running into one of the dickbags that I would hate, so I'm not going to do it.
Right, right.
You know,
but why would you pay money for putting yourself in a situation like that, right? Why would you put in the time to plan, the time to paint, and the time to actually, like, take time away on a weekend to do this and then to pay for it? It's like, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, like, there's no reason.
That's the thing that even like Terry and I were talking about, where it's just like, you know, if I got in there and ran up against the 8 Helldrake army, although Helldrakes are quite actually worth their points now, not like a bargain by 50% like they used to be.
Right.
Because you know, the changes to Vector Strike and then the FAQ to say that Torrent actually has to be in front of you, not 360.
Right.
But even then, like, I would, even in a tournament, walk up to the TO, refuse to play the guy, zero bomb him, and just be done with it. And I think that the possibility of running into someone running a list like that at a tournament is too high. So that's why I'm not surprised by this. Because, again, like, I think that all of the yeses are on that same page of, if I can pick who I'm playing or the environment that I'm playing in or, you know, whatever, so that I know that these awful abuses that are possible with unbound armies and even with their new ally system where come the apocalypse means nothing, you know, people may not want to run into some of the dirtier combinations that we're going to start seeing in tournaments. So, yeah, like I said, I'm not surprised at all.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I have to agree. I mean, I agree with a lot of the comments that people were putting in there. I don't think anybody had like a full-on off-base comment. I think kind of any viewpoint you have on this is totally valid. I think if you're even excited for the game, that's perfectly fine. I think, like you said, it's a tight rule set. It works. There's a lot of people who are excited for the tactical objective cards or role or whatever it is. But there's a lot of people who look at that and say, well, I'm never going to use it. Like, we're never going to play those missions in a tournament. We're never going to see them because it comes down to this odd dice roll of, well, am I going to get the right dice rolls for the right objectives, for the right victory points and win? Or, you know, am I going to get shafted and keep rolling up 1-2 every turn and have, you know, go touch the same objective over and over again? You know what I mean? Like, it's there's too much random chance in that for this game at a competitive level. However, for just fun, out-of-the-box games, yeah, it can absolutely work.
Well, and what's crazy to me is, like, even when you go on to sites like Bell, because I mean, no one encapsulates competitive 40K like Bell of Lost Souls. It's the only flavor that they fucking preach. They've even said, they're like, no, tactical objectives will make great secondaries. So you're just like, so you're saying it's still just sixth edition with a card game thrown in? Mm-hmm. Fuck off. Like, it really just kind of misses the point. But I do agree. I feel like while the tactical objectives were a great idea, it's clear that they ran out of ideas. When they're like, D6, D6, that's awesome. What do you mean that means I need to come up with 36 different objectives?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's bullshit.
Let's just make half of them the same objective six times. You know,
and that's exactly it. If I
roll a 1, 2, or 3, the game is basically the same as it would have been anyway.
You know, it's like when you pitch a great idea for a one-season television show and then, like, they renew it for 5 years, like Prison Break. Prison Break season one was a brilliant concept. And then it was super popular, so Fox was like, rewrite it so we can just keep this story going. And you're like, fuck. And that's what tactical objectives really feel like, because, again, it's such a brilliant idea. And there are some that are fantastic, like all of the 4, 5, you know, the 40s, 50s and 60s versions are fantastic and they're different. Objectives. And even if we kept one set of the touch this objective version, you're still stuck with, you know, 12 that are repeats and are really boring. So like I said, it's clear that it was a good idea, but they didn't have enough good ideas, so they just...
Is it 12? I think it's 18, because it's...
Well, like I said, they have 18 that are touch it, and that's why I'm like, give me 6 that are touch it, in which case you have 12 that they just literally couldn't come up with a better idea, and that's why they end up being the same. Because, like I said, I don't think I'll ever play a game of 40K that isn't using, like, the Maelstrom missions and tactical objectives, because it's just such a good idea.
Yep. So let's read some comments here. Christian says, I am reinvigorated to play again. I think the new edition has fixed some of the key issues with 6th edition. Maybe not all, but enough to make me happy. Let me add that I am not a tournament gamer, so my gaming group doesn't play a lot of broken lists that everyone else whines about. And that's in line with what we said. If you're a casual gamer, this is all well and good, and it's not going to deter you from playing Warhammer 40,000 at any point whatsoever. Dana says, after listening to the show, I have to say that my interest is piqued. I'll probably pick up the rules if they release a cheaper version. I'm interested in trying again as a fun game in my basement, although I doubt if I'll ever play in a 40K tournament again. Also, the idea of Unbound allowing me to take Lost in the Damn army I've always wanted, using Chaos Marines, Traitor Guard, and Demons, gives me a nerd hard-on like you would not believe. I think it's so funny that all it takes is Games Workshop saying like, you know, we're just going to put in two paragraphs about take whatever you want. Just fuck it. Take whatever the fuck you want. Who cares? And that has now given people free reign to just play the games they've always wanted to play. But
dude,
it's like,
Gene Stealer cults, like, whoa.
You could have been playing those, like, in your basement. You could have just been enjoying it, you know? Like, yes, a tournament's not going to allow it, but there's nothing stopping you from playing that army. You could have played that army 100 times, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, whatever.
Agreed. One thing I'm going to say, Dana, jump onto Black Library and get the digital edition of the rules, because I believe it's cheaper. I mean, it's not cheap.
But it is cheaper, or just download the PDF. Or the PDF or the EPUB version, that's
all. I am not going to say to steal things, but I'm sure that Google could help you out. Not
I'm a,
that
I'm
you
a realist.
Should.
I'm a total realist. That's all it comes down to.
Well, yeah, because what is the... sorry, I'm just on the Black Library site. The digital edition is... Oh, why are you in...
All right, so I'm going to read another one while you look for that. Rastia says, not only has this quote-unquote new rulebook not inspired me to play 40K again, it's given me the excuse I've been waiting for to sell off my Tyranids and say goodbye to 40K. I've never been a big fan of 6th edition, despite its many improvements to the rules. 7th edition is basically the same, quote, now with more glitter, unquote. And I'll be damned if I'm going to shell out another 85% to 95% of for the same content. She says $85 for 95% of the same content. Sorry. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see the Allies table open up. Too bad I'd be spending the money I would have bought Allied troops with on this book. Also, on a less general note, it looks like Games Workshop wasn't done screwing over the Tyranids. With the new rules for psychic powers, the Tyranid psychic defense, Shadow in the Warp, now has literally zero impact on the enemy's psychic powers. You can't tell me that with the proximity of these two releases that SITW
Shadow in the Warp
and 7th edition rules was an accident. I suppose the one benefit of the 7th edition rules is that after selling off my Tyranids, I'll have money to pick up Firestorm Armada. And that is a very, very good thing that comes from this. That was really strange. I mean, good on Games Workshop for releasing an FAQ right after the bat. You know, like the Canoptech Spider for Necrons gives you any squad within 6 inches of it +2 to their Deny the Witch, which is pretty big. So like a nice big psychic defense where you are now on an even playing field with the person who is trying to cast. And I mean, it basically makes them a mandatory addition to your list.
The Tomb Spiders do that?
Yep. The Canoptech Spiders, I believe. And I mean, there's a lot of little tidbits like that in the various books, but Tyranids, I went and I looked after I read this comment. Yeah,
there's nothing.
Oh, nothing. Nothing about Shadows of the Warp, nothing. So it's just like, guess what? Just going to get butt-fucked. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we actually get to that section.
Oh,
so
yeah. Thanks. I mean, they were the biggest losers in this edition. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate.
They've been the biggest losers. It's not going to change.
It's true.
Thanks,
everyone. It is quite clear that Games Workshop is literally trying to give Tyranids the squats treatment, but they're like, first we have to annihilate the player base, make sure that nobody plays them, then we can get rid of them.
Maybe they sold too well at one point and they're just like, we need to slow this train down so we can speed it up again later. Thanks to everyone who voted on the weekly listener poll. You can find those at jadedgamercast.com. We will have another question for you at the end of the show, of course, if we remember. So let's talk about the model of the week. The model of the week is the Gorkonaut, or if you're dirty, the Morkonaut. gorgeous model. Oh, man. They just hit it out of the park. This thing is perfect for orcs in every way, shape, and form. I don't think there's nothing negative about this that I can say. It is a phenomenal model.
See, I think my only quibble is when you're looking on the yellow one, which I believe is the Gorkonaut.
That's correct.
Why is there just one asshole orc sitting as a gunner behind the, like, uber awesome Gatling arm?
Because you only ever need one orc, man. What the fuck's wrong with you? Of course.
No, but they already talked about how there's, like, one knob piloting it, which is totally down, but I'm quibbling. No, listen, I really like the model. I'm interested to see what the rules end up looking like.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, this looks like the orc's answer to the Imperial Knight. And does that mean that, you know what? Honestly, maybe that's literally all it was Games Workshop first wanted to give a big monster kit to everyone. And now they're like, we need to give an even bigger monster kit to everyone. And that's all that's going to end up happening. Like, I don't know.
I just think the game is scaling in that direction. So, I mean, we saw it with Riptides. We saw it with
I'm just
Giganto
just
Eldar.
hoping that these are listed in the codex
Looks.
as a Lords of War, because I would like to see tournament organizers start to open up that slot, because they've straight up said, you know, in the rules where they're like, oh, your normal force org is like one HQ, two troops, it's your typical force org, and then, you know, one fortification, one Lord of War.
I think that's fine.
You know, and again, like when you're talking about small Lords of War, it ends up being fine. You know, it's just like, sure, some guy's going to bring a Thunderhawk to it, and you'll be like, ah, dick. But what are you going to do, right?
It's part of the game, man. But like I said, I feel like the game is scaling in that direction. I don't necessarily have a problem with the game scaling in that direction. I think the only issue that I have with it is that the Imperial Knight gorgeous model.
Listen, I want a side-by-side. I want
perfectly
to see
fine.
How the Gorkonaut looks size comparison-wise to an Imperial Knight. That's
and
what I'm
And again,
most
Games Workshop
about.
Sold a ton of them. People love them. There were at least five armies at Onslaught that were just Imperial Knights. And, you know, a bunch of them that just had an Imperial Knight in them. Because, again, I think it's a very cool addition to the game, and I think it works very well. So I have no problem with the game scaling in that direction. But let's talk about the model.
Okay. Which one first?
Gorkonaut. Okay. I love the Giganto machine gun arm that makes no sense. I get an absolute...
Apparently, I think it's Assault 46 or something ridiculous.
Fucking
orcs.
Wonderful.
Because orcs.
Yes, exactly. I love the fact that the one arm just has a whole bunch of twin-linked shooters attached to it. Like, everything looks just glued on, and I absolutely get a kick out of that. What's interesting is, in both pictures, it really does look... or at least in one picture, not the Morkonaut, but the Gorkonaut. In the Gorkonaut, it looks like the front opens. Like,
yes.
It almost might be like a troop transport of some sort, which would be...
Rumors that I've heard
fun.
Is a six-man troop transport, so throw in, like, five knobs and a war boss
Fantastic.
And have them run out of a fucking Gorkonaut. That would be unbelievably cool.
I'm ready, man. I'm in.
So I was going to say, I have a
I
question.
Will likely you, buy you, one.
Yeah, you know, that was going to be the question that I have, is you have a... Orc army.
Yes.
Are you excited about this model and adding it in?
You know what? Like I said in the last episode, it's very likely that I will play some games of 7th edition, but it's very likely that it will be waiting until my orcs get redone. And when the orcs get redone, which is obviously on the horizon
next week.
Yes. I am absolutely looking to play
now?
Some games.
Yes.
So this, I think, is a super cool thing. I may even pre-order it. Who the fuck knows? But I think it's rad. I really like it. And kind of regardless of the rules, I think I kind of need one. And
you
it's
know,
so funny. It's been such a long time since I'm just like, you know, I need one of those. I need one of those models. That needs to happen.
You know what's funny, too, is for you, you love the Gorkonaut, but I love the more mech boy Morkonaut. Like, I think that the what looks like it could be lightning gun arm is hilarious. Like, I'm just like, I don't even know what it was, but it looks like it'll shoot lightning.
It's a flamer of some sort. It's essentially a bigger version of the one that's coming out of his chest.
I thought it was a flamer, but then, like I said, they have that circle with the wire going to it. And I'm like, it could be a flamer, which would be super cool.
Yeah, it could be the light
I
gun.
Love the custom force field sitting on his back. I would not be surprised to see it have a larger range than a regular Mech Boys custom force field.
Mm-hmm.
I would also love to see this as a potential mount option, but that could be my fantasy showing. Like, a mech boy may be mounted in a Morkonaut, and you'd be like, that's badass. But no, like I said, I really love it. I even love, like, the freaking eye it has. You know, I like how they're able to really... Like, first of all, I think it's super awesome that they actually, for the first time outside of the Orcs and Goblins book... talk about Gork and Mork as being the dual gods of the orcs. And what's always funny is, like, even the orcs were never always sure who they were praying to. And that was always that funny little bit in, like, the Orcs and Goblins Warhammer army book. Because you'd just be like, foot of Gork, brackets, or possibly Mork.
Right.
Who knows? So I like the fact that they're really kind of playing with that. In terms of proportions and look, it looks like a tiny Stompa. And
so,
the Stompa is one of the best kits they've ever done.
Yes. The if you go to the other pictures, they do have models for scale. And the Gorkonaut, they do show it with the scale model of just the Orc knob and with his gut crotch open.
Yeah, I saw that. And that's why I don't think it's going to stand as tall as an Imperial Knight.
And it shouldn't.
Yeah, you know what?
Shorter, sturdier, stockier. That's orcs.
Totally. And I love it. Because like I said, it looks like a mini Stompa. And that's fucking awesome. Because, again, the Stompa is the best, one of the best models Games Workshop has ever produced. Like, I do not play orcs. I will probably never play orcs, but a part of me still just wants to pick up that plastic Stompa and go to town. And this really kind of has that same feeling.
I bought it at one point and then returned it later.
Well, that's because when would you play Apocalypse?
Exactly. Now, there's just no chance. But this.
Now, like I said, with 7th edition Lords of War being in. Because, see, like, I agree with what you were saying with the game is just moving towards bigger. And I actually like the fact, because, I mean, tournaments have always been too big in terms of point sizes. Like, I feel like with time limits, no tournament should have ever been more than about 1,250 points, 1,500 tops with the 2 hour, 2.5 hour time limit. Because, again, those were time limits from 3rd edition 40K, where my unit of Hormagaunts could charge 3d6 inches, you know, charge 18, fucking sweeping advance 3d6 through into combat and just literally clean a backfield. Like, games were so fast in 3rd and 4th edition.
Right.
They've done nothing but slow down. And points limits have gone up to the point where armies don't finish. I love the fact that they're just like, dude, I have 500 points in this one thing. We are getting this game done. Like, so it's just, I like it. I like these additions. I cannot wait to see the rules. I will probably pick up this week's White Dwarf Weekly because we know that they'll have the rules in it, you know, ahead of time. That way I can just really have a look at it, because like I said, I think it's great. It is a model that they completely hit out of the park.
Yep, like I said, I don't have anything negative to say about it. All right, so get on to the main topic for today's show, which is the psychic phase and psychic powers, the new psychic powers that certain armies will have access to according to what we've seen so far. These are quite different, pretty well across the board. There are a couple things that are very similar to the way that they were before. Smite and things like that are very similar to how they were before. So, you know, there are kind of the old favorites. However, they've absolutely changed the way you're going to look at the psychic phase. I mean, we'd already kind of talked about it in the last episode. And when we talk about it in the last episode, for anybody who hasn't read the new psychic powers, you're kind of looking at it from like, yeah, but, you know, psychic powers aren't all that amazing. There's really nothing that they do that's game-breaking. There's a lot of stuff in here that's game-breaking. Let's say that.
Yes.
And I mean, amazing things that are just going to turn the tide for armies. And I will kind of start this conversation by asking you this, Nathan.
Yes.
For an army that has access to psychic powers to play against an army that has no access to psychic powers or psychic defense, is it unfair? I'll let you think about it. My answer is yes, it is unfair. And here's the reason why. It's not because these are so broken that I'm just, you know, shaking my head going like, this is bullshit top to bottom. It's the fact that, you know, if you take a look at fantasy, right, you take a look at what wizards can do, and the psychic powers are very similar to magic spells that we see in Warhammer. They're really not all that different for the most part. And they cost twice as much as most lords do, right? A level four wizard, special character, or just even just a level four wizard with like an item or two is 400 points.
Yeah, well, I was going to say a level four wizard naked is almost always going to be 100 points more than a naked fighter lord.
That's right.
Always.
It's right, exactly.
That is the tax for being a spellcaster. And most wizards' stat line is going to be a unit champ from like your shittiest core unit.
Right.
With multiple wounds.
With that in mind, we're not seeing a change to the cost of librarians and psychers.
How they're still the budget.
That's right. They're still super cheap because that's how 6th edition was. I mean, the psychic phase really didn't do much for you. So taking a librarian pretty much cost almost the exact same cost as a chaplain or a commander, right? So there's really nothing to it. But now at the points cost that you're able to get them for, they're steals because if you're playing against an army that doesn't have psychers or an army that doesn't necessarily have psychic defense, these are insanely powerful abilities that you get every turn, essentially, because your opponent's just not going to have enough dice to stop you.
Well, yeah, but again, as I said, like the reason I'm so on the fence is, for me, it's not an issue of defense, because as I said last week, you're not shutting down fucking anything. Like, they really drop the ball on defense. In my opinion, I really feel like
the I think we're going to see more defense in the future.
This is like
Skyfire at the beginning of 6th edition.
You know, and again, if they start adding in more psychic defensive items across the board, then I'll absolutely take back what I'm saying. But I mean, as of right now, your only psychic defense is the hopes that he whiffs his roll and it doesn't succeed in casting. Because mm-hmm. it's a hope and a dream, where it's just like, oh, he threw four dice. He only needed one success. He whiffed it. He got one. I'm going to take all seven of my dice and hope to God I get a six, because that's the only spell I'm going to stop.
That's right.
You know, that's what the defense is. To me, the reason why armies without access are at a disadvantage is because they cannot then do the same thing. Like, they can't throw out the super awesome offensive abilities on their own.
But let's clarify this. It's not just a disadvantage. Right? It's not dwarves who don't have casters but have other things. So yes, they're at the disadvantage in the magic phase, but they defend themselves, right? Like, this is straight up, you don't have anything. You get a D6 roll, he's got
pure Dark Eldar, pure Tau are gonna get bent over.
Yeah.
And God forbid they play against an army that's actually built to spam this. Like, I think that the competitive Chaos Demon list is going to be Mono Zeench.
Yeah.
That is going to generate 20 plus warp charges a turn, and is then going to conjure up more units to generate more warp charges.
It's the same thing with Grey Knights.
Yeah, absolutely. You're
going to be going onto the table. You're going to be hitting the table with 12, 13, 14 dice.
Well, I was going to say, without even stacking,
right.
You know, my Zeench Demons, which I haven't built points for, but I'm just like, I know I want a Lord of Change level 3. I know I want a pair of level 3 heralds, you know, each in front of a unit of 18 horrors, you know, doing my troops, getting them out of the way. That's already, 15 warp charge?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not me gaming the system. That's me doing compulsories with one extra greater demon that I want.
Right.
And that's already 15 warp charge tokens. Right. And you're like, holy shit. And those 15 on the first turn can create two new units, each with a herald, with ease. And those heralds, because if you know, and we'll go through it, but those heralds can then buy additional Psyker Mastery levels.
30 points versus, or 30 points of blah, which can be Psyker Mastery levels. Yeah,
or
exactly.
Locus, because like that's the thing. It's just like 30 points could make him a Mastery level 2,
right.
Or you just give him the top exalted reward and make him, or not even exalted reward, the exalted locus, and you're laughing your way to the bank. So now it's just like, you know, oh my God, it's, you can absolutely just start to snowball how many warp charges you can have.
Right,
and in the early game, you can't really do anything against it.
Right, but here's where I roll it back again. It's not a disadvantage. It's unfair. That's the problem. It's not, I'm not saying this is broken, so on and so forth. It's just, if I'm playing my orcs and you bring your demons, what happens in the magic phase? You get off 4 to 5 powers that ridiculously buff your army. If not, create 100 to 150 plus points, and in some cases, shit, like 400 plus points worth of stuff a turn that you are just generating over and over and over again. I cannot do anything to stop it. I just have to sit there and bend over and go, well, I'm not playing a psychic army, so I guess I'm fucked. And that's the problem, because it's not an issue of, oh, well, if you go through the York FAQ, there's a blah, blah, blah about weird boys. No, there's fucking nothing like that. It's you eat it. You eat that dick. And
well, and again, but I mean, at least with orcs, you have access to a weird boy. Whereas, like I said, Tau and Dark Eldar straight up have no psychers, period.
But
they can't even take.
Right.
It's not an option. It's not anything like
that. But that's the thing. Even if I take a weird boy, I'm still eating that dick.
Oh, yes, you absolutely are. And you know, and I think that's, you know, maybe is that what we're going to see, is a resurgence of Grey Knights armies?
Yeah.
Because God, honestly. Yes.
Grey Knights and Demons are going to run the table.
Yeah, I was going to say, my question to you is, which do you think is the best lore in the game?
It's Demon.
Yeah, but which one?
The Malefic.
Really? Because I feel that Sanctic is better.
Well, I mean, we'll kind of talk about that. Outside of those.
Oh, yeah, I mean, like, if
Biomancy.
Like, Yes, I was going to say. But again, why would you outside of those? Because again, Tyranids got the short end of the stick because they can only take their two shitty nerfed lores.
Mm-hmm.
And every other army has access to demonology, mm-hmm. both branches, with the exception of the little caveats that they throw mm-hmm. through in where Grey Knights cannot take malefic, mm-hmm. demons cannot take sanctic. So that's mm-hmm. why for me, I'm just like, if you're playing Chaos Space Marines or Chaos Demons, I would go malefic. If you were playing anything else, you just bet the farm on sanctic and go to town. There's all no right, reason so, to ever take anything else.
To recap, psychers don't cost enough, and psychic armies are going to essentially destroy any chances of winning against armies that do not have psychers. I mean, your only option, and I mean, again, the proponents of saying, no, it's fair and balanced, they're just going to go, right, you just have to kill the psychers. The problem is, it's just too much on the table. One of the biggest issues that I have with it on top of this is that during the magic phase, and again, this is more of why it's unfair, not just disadvantage, it's unfair, is that in Warhammer, in the magic phase, if your wizard fails to cast something, he's done. He doesn't get to cast anymore. Other wizards can cast, other wizards can use the power dice, but that wizard is fucking done. In this one, the guy can literally go, right, well, I'm just going to math it out. I'm going to do two here, three here, and five here. Every turn. And go, right, bing. He either gets it or he doesn't get it. It's not the crux of his army. It's not winning or losing him games necessarily because he still has the exact same number of points worth of shit that you have on the table. There's literally no drawback to it. And we already talked about how the Shadows of the, or the miscast it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Parallel. I mean, like, you know, it's, and that's it exactly it doesn't do anything.
Who gives a shit?
Well, and that was going to be my point when we got to it is, yeah, okay, so they added in the little caveat asterisk of if you are not Grey Knights and you are not Chaos Demons and you are using demonology, you will perils on every roll of doubles instead of just double sixes. But again, who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm.
It is such a stupid, worthless table. Like, you don't care.
Yeah, there's like, one roll that does nothing. There's another roll that makes you awesome. And everything else in between is like, you take a wound.
Yeah, and you're like, okay, I'm okay with that.
Right, because your guys are dirt cheap. They're not expensive. They're not, you know, they're not your HQ lore of your army like they are in fantasy. They are, you just take, you fucking take them. Like, if you're playing Imperial Guard, stacking psychers, fuck me. I mean, you can get all those freaking stupid, weird, whatever the fuck they are, psychers, on the table with Primaris psychers, because again, I think the Primaris psychers are just advisors. Like, they're not even proper HQ, right? Like, it's crazy, but whatever. Okay, so let's actually talk about the psychic phase. The psychic lores. I'm sorry. What are they called? They're not lores. They're called
disciplines.
Disciplines.
We need to come up with a different word that means exactly the same thing.
Psychic disciplines.
Reasons.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
we're gonna start with the big winner, Biomancy.
The big winner?
Big winner. If this is the Engorgio charm made psychic is essentially what it is. Because that's all you do with magic in the Harry Potter universe is freaky sex. I mean, have you ever thought about the shit you could do with Polyjuice? Like how much DNA there is out there? Like if you were a celebrity in the Harry Potter universe, you just sell hair? Just be like, hi, everybody, I'm Brad Pitt. You can buy one of my hairs for like $20, make some Polyjuice. Find some hobo, pay him $20, and fuck Brad Pitt. I'm Brad Pitt. I endorse this. Like, you can make so much. And then again, as a wizard, it's just like, right, you ready to get down, baby?
Work 100% of the time. That's always right.
Engorgio. And we know in the Harry Potter universe that furries get everything they could ever want. All right, so. Primaris power is Smite, same as it was before. Witchfire, range 18, strength 4, AP 2, assault 4. Great power to have. Warp charge 1, I think. As like a bread and butter psychic focus, it's a great psychic focus to have.
And that's the big thing is, I mean, it was always that ability that you would never trade for, but as a psychic focus where you're getting it for free, it is just a really nice fallback.
Yeah, great shooting ability. You know, anything AP2. I mean, strength 4, AP2, assault 4, great. That's great stuff, man. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. All right, so Iron Arm, Warp Charge 1, it's a blessing. Whilst the power is in effect, the Psyker has +3 to his strength and toughness, and he gains the Smash special rule. So he essentially becomes a monstrous creature. Rawr.
Well, what's awesome about that is it's not the plus D3 anymore.
That's
it's
right.
Just, it's straight plus three, and it's still only one warp charge. So you're like, oh, fuck right off. Like, it's just like that thing is like, Biomancy is the only exception to the demonology rule where I'm like, if you have a demon prince, roll Biomancy. Why not?
So here's what's hilarious about
Iron Arm and Warp Speed.
Yes, I was going to say.
Kill everything.
We're going to go right across to Warp Speed because for one more Warp Charge, it's a blessing.
No, it's still cost of one. It's not more.
No, it's the same fucking cost. You get plus three to your initiative and attacks, and you have the fleet special rules. So you can turn your Psyker, who costs next to nothing, into a god. He's basically a Catan at this point. And
yeah, I mean,
he's wrecking anything out there on the table, and he can fight. And this is two warp charges. So, like, if you get into a fight, and even if you're just a level three, and you roll a one for your warp charges, you still do two and two. You're probably going to get both of those off.
Well, and I was going to say, look at Ahriman. He's a Psyker Master level four.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you throw him into Biomancy, he rolls both of those. He's a goddamn beast.
Like come get him.
Seven attacks, initiative eight, strength nine, thanks to his staff that gives him plus two strength as well. Toughness seven, and you're like, come at me, bro.
Enfeeble. Enfeeble is a malediction. Targets a unit within 24 inches. Whilst the power is in effect, the unit suffers minus one penalty, both its strength and toughness, and treats all terrain, even open ground, as difficult. This is fucking crazy. Minus one strength and toughness. I mean, when we're talking about units that are getting shot up, imagine this in a guard army where suddenly your last guns are wounding on a 4+. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that is insane. Well,
not to mention the fact that last little bit is even open ground is difficult terrain. I mean, this is what you hit combat units in. So now it's just like that unit that's blitzing out in an attempt to charge you. First of all, your psychic phase is before shooting, so you're going to enfeeble them. You're going to maul them in the shooting phase because of their minus one toughness. And then if they do try to charge you, because with all maledictions and blessings, they last until the beginning of the next psychic phase automatically. And there's nothing you can do about it. So it's just like their attempt to charge you will be 2d6 minus two. And like I said, you've mauled the fuck out of that unit. And God forbid you have multiple psychers and you're starting to stack divination on there and you can overwatch your full ballistic skill. Like, any unit that gets hit by that is done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I believe, if we go to Primaris Psychers, is this the new one or the old one? I can't remember.
I was going to say, I thought that there was a chart that showed who could take what
Biomancy, Pyromancy's telekinesis, and telepathy is what Primaris Psykers get.
So they get Biomancy, Pyromancy, and what else? Telekinesis and telepathy. So all they do is miss divination because demonologies are free.
That's right. And the Psyker Battle Squad has access to, I don't know. I think it just says Soulstorm. Soulstorm we can resolve. Anyways, whatever.
Those are the old ones.
Yes, they are the old ones.
Let me grab my... Sorry, I was looking for Imperial, and I almost grabbed Imperial Knights, but then I remembered that they named them idiotically.
That's right. Okay, so... Anyways, while you're looking that up, we all agree it's awesome. And again, it's only one warp charge. So, I mean, throw a bunch of dice at it, you're going to get it. You know what I mean? Like, if you throw four dice and you hit three, there's almost no chance your opponent's going to be stopping it. There's
Weird Vein Psykers generate from the same four lores.
There you go.
Fancy and their fancy. Brotherhood of Psykers mastery level one, which means that they roll one dice and then they know the Primaris for free.
That's right. The, what is it? What's the minimum unit size for them?
Weird Vein?
Yeah.
Figures I literally just was putting it away. Minimum unit size is 5, 60 points. So just grab three. Those are your elites.
Grab three and you're loving life. Anyways.
180 points gives you,
lots more options. Life Leech is a Witchfire, 18-inch range, strength 6, AP 2, assault 2. If you do at least one wound, the Psyker or a friendly model within 6 inches regains a wound lost earlier in battle. Cannot go higher than your starting wounds. Nice, sure, whatever. Here's the winner.
Okay.
Endurance.
Yes.
Endurance is a blessing, targets a single friendly unit within 24 inches. Whilst the power is in effect, the models in the target unit gain Eternal Warrior, Feel No Pain, 4+, and Relentless. Motherfucker. I mean, two warp charges. Like, it's such a low casting cost when you think about the fact that you're going to go into a game with, like, 4 or 5 or 6 already, right?
Yes.
And unlike fantasy, again, here's where, again, it's unfair. There's no limit to the number that you can throw. It's not like, oh, you're level 1. You can only throw 2 dice, you know, 1 higher than your level. Or, you know, we've capped it at 6. It's like, you want to throw 8 dice at it? Fucking throw 8 dice at it. You know, if one of your Brotherhood of Psychers goes poof, who gives a shit, right? Like, it means nothing. And it's one of those things where nobody's going to stop it. Like, if you want it, you're getting it.
You know, and again, like, that was what I was talking about, where I was just disappointed in the way that canceling psychic powers work. Because if, like, if all I had to do was drop you below the cast value, I feel like it was a little, it would be a little more fair.
No, and again, I mean, I'm the guy who's changed his tune since last episode.
Oh, yeah, because I'm like, you throw your 6 dice at endurance, and even if you just roll the odds of 3, the fact that he has to cancel all 3 on a 6+ means that you're always fucked, because it's a blessing. You're not affecting another unit, so unless you have a psychic hood,
No, psychic hood only grants it to people within a certain range.
Yeah, well, no, I know it's the bubble, but it makes the psyker count as being in that unit. So, yeah, I mean, with the blessing, eat shit and die, asshole. Like, literally, that's all it comes down to. Like, sure, I have a chance of killing it if my dice are loaded, but otherwise, because, you know, and like I said, that was the big thing, because even when we're talking about fantasy, you know, and the fantasy magic phase, you know, even if I don't take any wizards, I still know that I can reliably kill 1 spell every magic phase, you know, and that's a given. I will kill 1 of those spells. In 40K, though, like I said, even if you stack psychers, even if I took 2 level, you know, I don't even know if Space Marine librarians can be level 3, but even if I took just 2 librarians, max level, you know, mastery level that they could be, let's say it's 3, oddly enough, my Space Marine Codex is upstairs.
Hold on,
not here.
I'll check while you're talking.
Okay, but I mean, like, even then, if I have 6 plus my plus whatever the D6 is, odds are I'm only able to cancel 1 single warp charge, unless you get greedy and you try to cast spells on units within range of my psychic hoods. But like, if you go for nothing but blessings, then there's really nothing I can do about it. I might be able to cancel 1 single warp charge. That's it. And that's why, like I said, I said it last week and I still stand by it. It's just really unfair.
Mastery level 2 is the most that a standard librarian could be. Tigerius is a 3.
Yeah, I knew Tigerius was 3. I'm just looking at Chaos Space Marines right now, and I know that a regular Chaos Marine guy can be mastery level 3 with Ahriman as 4. That's why I just wasn't sure where Marines landed with it. But there you go. So even if I took double librarian, which, honestly, why wouldn't you? Double librarian, both running Sanctic Demonology. You're still getting fucked over in the magic phase, especially if you run into in magic phase, in the psyker phase, especially versus Chaos Demons and Eldar. Because, oh my good lord, Eldar with warlocks, like every warlock is a level 1. You know, Spirit Seers, level 1s, Farseers, level 3. So it's just like, oh my god. Like, it's just like, I can't even imagine the amount of negative fun into.
They have access to divination, where the Primaris power,
which means they can do, they can cast anything.
Yeah, it's crazy. So okay, hemorrhage is warp charge 2. It basically targets a single model to focus witchfire 18 inch range. That model has to take 2 toughness tests. If it fails a toughness test, it takes a wound with no armor save. If it dies, the next closest model to it takes a toughness test. If it dies, the next model until it stops, which
blah, blah, blah. I mean, basically, this is a lore of Nurgle spell that I have tried to use successfully, even hammering toughnesses down to 1, and it's still kind of shitty.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
mine are D6 every
right.
time you fail a toughness
it's
test.
Not winning you any games. Not even.
Yeah, I mean, again, because you don't have to trade for your Primaris and you're always going to dump into the same lore for Psychic Focus, Hemorrhage is that one where you're like, I just won't cast it. There's
exactly.
no point.
Oh, but you'll just, you know. Yeah, it just, it doesn't matter. You know, like, it, and again, it's not the worst thing in the world to have happen. So it's not like you're kicking yourself in the pants like, oh, God, fuck, I got Hemorrhage. It's just like, well, I'm actually just going to roll Smite this game. Wouldn't normally have rolled Smite, but hey, whatever. Smite's happening now. So anyways.
Or if you have Enfeeble as well, depending
oh,
on
yeah.
the arc. Because, I mean, Enfeeble and Hemorrhage on an Eldar army might not be too terrible. Or, you know, one of the Eldars or Tau or something that's low toughness where they're going to fail 66% of the time. If there's nothing better for you to do. Because remember.
Ooh,
you,
I rolled all my warp charges and I killed 4 Eldar warriors before he rolled
oh, I
one
totally
or two.
Get it. I totally get it.
Amazing.
It is, like I said, I'm just.
How about I just
to
make them toughness 2 and shoot them?
But honestly, why would you take Biomancy?
Well, okay.
Like, I think that's what it's coming down to.
It's because
Biomancy is the winner of the old lores.
Yes.
I think that it is the
that's
best.
Why, that's
there.
Why I pointed it out as, if we're not talking about the new demonic lores, then it's Biomancy. All right, so let's talk about Divination. Also very, very good. Divination works very well. Primaris Power, Warp Charge 2 is pre-science. You know what I'm talking about. Presence.
And you give me hell for Omnisia?
I've been drinking, bitch. Do you notice how, like, earlier while I was reading comments, I was reading them, like, clearly, like a person at work who could read as they're looking at things, and then now I'm just like, pre-science is a blessing that targets a single friendly unit within 12 inches, wilts the power, is in effect, the target unit re-rolls all failed to hit rolls. Big time, awesome stuff.
Yep.
Foreboding is a warp charge 1. It's a blessing that targets the Psyker. Wilts the power is in effect. The Psyker and his unit have counterattack and fire overwatch using their full ballistic skill rather than ballistic skill 1. Note that this does not allow weapons that do not normally fire on overwatch.
I was going to say, what's interesting is counterattack changed. You no longer require a leadership successful leadership
That's
check.
Right.
You just always
just,
have it. Like, it's always
move,
on.
You always just move in and you get your plus 1 attack.
Yep.
Super fancy. Really nice. I mean, you know, if you're playing a sit back and shooting army, which if you're playing Eldar, you're going to be playing a sit back and shooting army. If you roll this up, you're not going to be kicking yourself. However, it's not the reason why you're taking the lore.
No, it's not. I mean, it's good.
It's like I said, it's not
listen,
terrible.
You're taking
You'll
it
use it
presence.
Once a game.
Your fucking Primaris is amazing. And the fact that it's free means that you never have the discussion of like, whenever we do a fantasy review where you're like, this is the spell you trade. You get it. You trade. But like the fact that you just get them automatically and you know the signature. Go.
Well,
that's
exactly.
why you're like, sure, I'll sit on it because I have no other choice, but
right.
I
well,
won't cast it.
It's exactly like when we talk about, oh, yeah, you take that level 1 with Lore of Beast. Why? Because Wissen's wild form.
Yes.
You don't care. You just take it.
You don't even roll because there's nothing better than Wissen's. Like, you're just like, level
right.
1 Beast. Wissens.
Forewarning is a blessing. Targets a single friendly unit within 12 inches. Whilst the power is in effect, the target unit has a 4 plus invulnerable save. That is awesome for Warp Charge 1. And I mean fucking crazy awesome.
Yep.
Just the fact that it's a 4 plus invulnerable. There's other lores where they give you a cover save. And I mean like this. And that's for like Warp Charge 2. It's fucking retarded. This for Warp Charge 1 is amazing. Perfect timing. Warp Charge 1. The Psyker and whilst his power is in effect, the Psyker and his unit have ignores cover special rule. Whatever. Precognition.
Yay.
Warp Charge 1 is a blessing that targets the Psyker whilst power is in effect. The target or the Psyker rerolls all failed to hit and to wound rolls. In addition, while the power is in effect, the Psyker rerolls saving throws. Not that you would ever care.
Well, but because like that's the thing is like you're never really going to cast Precognition because you're always going to go Prescience because it helps the
right.
unit he's with. So, yay, with Precognition, the Psyker could reroll his own to wound rolls, but the fact that Prescience helps his unit is why it will always win.
Right, because what's your Psyker got? Shuriken handgun?
That's yeah, I was going to say, I mean, like
dollar
a,
store disc gun?
I don't even think that, yeah, Shuriken pistol
yeah.
plus something else. Like, who cares?
And his ghost
Seriously,
blade.
Seriously, who cares?
He's got
yeah.
a ghost blade, bitch.
Misfortune.
Misfortune is a malediction. Targets a single enemy unit within 24 inches with its powers in effect. All attacks that target the unit have a rending. That means not just shooting, attacks.
Yeah, I know. That is really cool. I like it.
Really awesome. If you get it, you will be happy and you will use it and you will throw 5 dice at it and easily get those 2 warp charges that you need.
Every
be happy
time.
As a clam.
Yep.
Scryer's Gaze is a blessing that targets the Psyker. Whilst the power is in effect, you can reroll the dice for rolling for reserves, outflank, and when your army identifies a mysterious objective. In addition, if the mission is using tactical objective special rule, you can immediately choose to discard one of your active tactical objectives and generate a new one. Fine. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you get it and you have units in reserve, you'll cast it turn one and never again, but yay.
So, obviously, you're hoping for Forewarning and Misfortune. On top of that, like I said, if you get Foreboding or if you get, Perfect Timing or anything like that, you're just going to kind of be like, yeah, whatever, I'm using Prescience anyways. Who gives a
shit? You may use it every now and then, but really, it is Foreboding, Forewarning, and Misfortune are the three big winners out of Divination.
All right, so we're going to come back to the Demonic Powers. We're going to jump right into Pyromancy here. Primaris power is Flame Breath.
Sorry, what did I say? What? Huh?
Huh?
Why bother?
Why bother?
It's probably the worst lore there is.
I mean, I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. But it's dumb. That's the problem with it. Anyways. Flame Breath. Woo!
Spell is number six. It's the only reason why you'd be like, yeah, I guess.
You know, it's like buying a multi... Well, I guess it's like buying a Melta. I mean, how much is a Melta? How much is a Psyker?
You're right. All right. Flame Breath. It's a heavy flamer with Soul Blaze. Hooray.
Yeah. Fiery Form is a blessing that targets the Psyker. He gets a 4+ invulnerable save, and his close combat attacks get Soul Blaze. Yeah. Whilst the power is in effect, the Psyker rerolls all failed to wound rolls inflicted by further Pyromancy powers. So, well, obviously, the idea is you hit Fiery Form, and then you hit other shit like Sunburst and so on and so forth.
Which is nice, but I mean,
you've got to be lucky enough to hit it.
You have to be lucky enough to hit it, and you have a heavy flamer and two different flamers using different things, right? Like, it's just like the fucking strength and AP values of them are so worthless that it's just like, yay, I get to reroll my fail to wound rolls, and then they get to do, you know, then they get their armor saves because,
right,
who cares?
Fire Shield is a blessing that targets a single unit within 24 inches whilst the power is in effect. The target unit has a 4+ cover save, and all enemy units treat terrain within 6 inches of the target as dangerous terrain, even open ground. Interesting, but whatever.
Why would you choose that over your fucking 4+ invuln out of Divination?
That's right. Spontaneous Combustion is a focus witch firepower that goes boom, and if the guy dies, it's a small blast template that's strength 6 AP 3. Who gives a shit?
Well, no, he takes strength 6 AP 3, but gets a cover save.
Is strength,
and if
5
he goes boom, it's a heavy flamer that ignores... Like, it's a heavy flamer because it ignores cover.
Except it's just a blast template.
Yes, it is just a blast template, which means that if he's spread out correctly, you may hit a guy.
Sunburst is a Nova with a 9-inch range that gives you 2d6 bolter shots. Hooray.
I guess you could make Sunburst work if you arrived via Deep Strike or Drop Pod in the middle of stuff. You may kill two or three guys. Hooray.
So worth it.
Right.
Inferno is a witch firepower, range 24, strength 4, AP 5, assault 1, ignores covered large blast, soul blaze. It's just a shitty large blast template. Who cares?
I mean, listen, we are all spamming 3 whirlwinds, right. So I love the fact that I was able to get another whirlwind on here in my HQ choice.
As like a psychic power?
Hell yes!
Why not?
Give me whirlwinds.
Molten Beam is a Melta. All right. Telekinesis. Assail is the Primaris power. Range 18, strength 6, no AP. Assault 1, strike down. I mean, I get it. It's a beam, sure, why not? But... It with 18 inch
you're
range,
never going to use it. If you're never going to use telekinesis. That is not why you want it.
No. Crush warp charge 1 focus switch fire power that with a range of 18 inches. Roll 2d6. The target model suffers a hit with strength equal to the result. 11 or 12 automatically wounds. In the case of a vehicle, it causes an automatic penetrating hit with an AP equal to another separate d6 dice roll. So if you were looking for a shooting attack that was so fucking random that it makes Smite look even better, this is the one for you. Yes. Objurgation Mechanicum. Warp charge 1. It's a malediction. Targets a unit within 24 inches. While the power is in effect, all of the target's ranged weapons have the Gets Hot special rule. In addition, if a vehicle or vehicle squadron, each vehicle in the unit suffers a single strength 1 hit with the Haywire special rule. Again, this is one of those things where you kind of look at it and you go like, yeah, that's fine. Right? Like, you'll probably throw it out. If you roll it up, you'll probably be like, well, it's better than a sale, so yeah, whatever, I'm going to do this.
You know, but I guess my biggest problem with telekinesis is there's really nothing.
All right, well, let's jump ahead here.
Okay, I was going to say, it's just, yes, that is a spell that you would throw out, but why would you ever choose telekinesis?
That's right. Shockwave is a shitty Nova that causes pinning. Levitation allows you to move a unit 12 inches. Who gives a shit? These are all Warp Charge 1, by the way. Warp Charge 2 is Telekinetic Dome, which gives all friendly models within 12 inches of the Psyker a 5+ invulnerable save against shooting attacks. Now, if they had said friendly units, I'd have been like, yeah, but it's friendly models, which means...
Well, I was going to say, it's the same problem that I had with the Ogre Frosty monster thing, right, where it's just like, so I have to... it's not a whole unit that's ASL, it's... these two guys, and then everyone else murders my ogres anyway.
Yeah, I gotta pack them in so blast templates fuck me, is basically what you have to do in this case. Even though I get a 5+ invulnerable save against it. Psychic Maelstrom is hilarious. Warp Charge 3, it's a Witchfire power, range 12, strength 10, AP 1, assault 1, barrage, large blast template. I get a kick out of that. I mean... this is the only reason to take telekinesis.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's the biggest problem six. Is I am getting three rolls, and I could fuck it up and not get this. So there are six abilities, including the Primaris, that are terrible.
Right.
The hopes of getting Psychic Maelstrom.
Even if it was, like, fantasy, and I had three dice, and I was like, right, so if I roll doubles on the three dice, I get to pick my power. All right, I'm going to pick Psychic Maelstrom. I feel okay about this. But the fact that you're going in and you're rolling and you're just like, you know what, 50-50 chance, whatever. Let's see what happens here. Yeah, telekinesis is garbage. It's the worst lore out here. I would take pyromancy before I would take telekinesis.
Pyromancy is terrible.
And pyromancy is crap. Telekinesis just makes no sense, and it really doesn't accomplish anything, and I can't even see an army where it would really help them or buff them or fit them in any way. It just,
no, either
none of it makes any fucking sense.
You know, the other thing is, you know, when you look at when you look at pyromancy, you can at least see them trying to give you a lot of, you know, a lot of, I can't even remember the word, synergy. So it's just like, right, you cast fiery form and then you try to do these other things which are going to amp your damage. You look at biomancy, you know, iron arm and warp speed make the psyker himself a combat monster. Enfeeble plus hemorrhage, you know, make him a kind of damage dealer. Like, it's just like, you have those things that work. Divination, again, you have all of these really great ones that work well together, but telekinesis is a hot fucking mess. Like, literally nothing works well together, and there's nothing in here where you're just like, holy shit, sign me up. Because even with Psychic Maelstrom, you're like, yeah, that's okay, but, and I know we're coming back to it, it's not nearly as good as Vortex of Doom out of Demonology for the same number of warp charges, and all of Demonology is amazing. So let's move on to Telepathy.
Telepathy is pretty good. I do like it.
I like Telepathy, and this is
just a little bit behind Biomancy for me, and that's just because there's a couple throwaways.
Depending on how I was building my Marines, I could see myself taking Telepathy, and I'll tell you why when we get there.
All right, so Primaris power is Psychic Shriek, Warp Charge 1. It's a Witchfire power with a range of 18. Roll 3d6 and subtract the target's leadership. The target unit suffers a number of wounds equal to the result. Armor saves and cover saves cannot be taken against wounds with Psychic Shriek.
Just reminds me how much I miss the Doom of Malin.
That's right, man. I mean, I love it. Again, it's one of those things where it's just like, you know what?
Great last edition, it's fantastic now.
My 60-point Brotherhood of Psykers will go scream at your Terminator's unit and kill three. I will laugh.
It is, you know, like I said, it was great before. It's still great.
Yeah. Fantastic. You can't go wrong. Dominate. Warp Charge 1 is a malediction. Targets a single enemy unit within 24 inches. Basically, what it comes down to is if they want to do anything, move, shoot, cast psychic powers, blah, 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 they have to make a psychic check first. If they fail it, they cannot do that thing or anything else that phase, and then they move on to the next phase, and then they try again, and then they fail again.
Sorry, I got Telepathy mixed up with Demonology Sanctic. This is a good lore, but the combo that I was thinking of.
Okay, well, thanks for coming out. Mental Fortitude is a blessing that targets a single unit within 24 inches. If the target is falling back, it immediately regroups. In addition, whilst the power is in effect, the target unit gains Fearless. So this is basically a Warp Charge 1 ability that makes a unit Fearless or automatically rallies it and makes it Fearless. I don't see the point in this in a lot of armies because of the fact that There's so many armies out there that are already fearless or already leadership 10, or you're never going to run into a case where this is winning you a game. And
I was going to say, this is, remember what you said, Brotherhood of Psykers, Psychic Shrieking? It's literally the only army. Like,
but Imperial you have Guard, shit
but to Imperial, bolster Imperial you. Guard might actually have units that run away. I mean, anything Space Marine has, and they shall know no fear, which means right. they're either going to auto-rally or they're not going to run if it's combat.
Right.
You know, so you're right, but that's why I'm saying, like,
but we've got commissars. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
but you can't, you're not, you're what, commissars are 0-5 now? So it's just like, Imperial Guard might possibly cast
immensely maybe
mental fortitude.
Yeah.
All right. Because of the fact that you roll your one Brotherhood of Psyker roll on your Weird Veins, you get Psychic Shriek plus whatever they roll. Mental fortitude is one of those ones where you're like, I might use it.
Right.
But that's it.
I got some dice left over.
Right.
Terrify. Warp Charge 1 is a malediction. Targets a single unit within 24. The unit has minus 1 leadership. Treats all enemy units as having the fear special rule. Furthermore, the targets must take a morale check at the end of the psychic phase. Sure. Why not? I mean,
well, again, but again, like,
if they're fearless.
Terrify meshes with Dominate. And that's the big thing with it, where it's like Dominate's forcing all of those leadership checks. The fact that you can hit that with minus one. Also, one other thing that I looked at why mental fortitude is good. If you have elected to go to ground for the bonus to your cover save, as soon as something becomes fearless, they are no longer gone to ground. So, yeah. Again, it meshes with Imperial Guard, and that's about it.
Fair enough. Shrouding. Warp Charge 1, it's a blessing. Targets the Psyker. Wilts the powers in effect the Psyker and all friendly models. Within 6 inches of the Psyker to have the Shrouded
fucking
special.
Models.
All right, exactly. Invisibility. This one I like. I think this one's pretty rad. This is Warp Charge 2. It's a blessing that targets a single friendly unit within 24 inches. Whilst the power is in effect, enemy units can only fire snapshots at the target unit, and in close combat with the unit, will only hit on sixes. I like it. That's rad. I absolutely love having that on the table. I think it's absolutely fantastic. And if you roll it up, you will cast it every turn and laugh.
Oh, yeah. Invisibility is something that you'll absolutely
just
cast
phenomenal.
Every it's single phenomenal. Turn. It's so good.
Hallucination is pointless. I'm not going to read it.
Agreed.
All right. So, demons. Let's talk about that demon shit.
Let's
get that fucking good shit in our veins. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Let's talk about the Malefic, because, like I said, I think Sanctic are the best. So, I want to
save it. Fair enough. Primaris Power. For Malefic is Warp Charge 3. Summoning is a conjuration. With a range of 12 inches, it creates one of the following units of your choice. 10 Bloodletters, 10 Horrors, 10 Plaguebearers, 10 Demonettes, 5 Fleshhounds, 3 Flamers, 3 Nurgling Swarms, 5 Seekers, and then the rules are found in Codex Demons. So you're basically getting a free unit of 10 awesome guys that do great stuff, which can also provide you with more Warp Charge tokens.
Yeah, go 10 pink horrors. That's an additional warp charge token. Right. Like, that's plus one warp charge token and 90 free points right there.
I mean, yes, it's warp charge 3, so we know that even if you're taking psychic focus, you're not necessarily throwing it out all the time. But again, a good D6 roll, even a level 1 can cast that shit, right? So that's all you need to make that shit happen. Cursed Earth is warp charge 1. It's a blessing that targets the Psyker. Whilst the power is in effect, all models with the demon special rule, friend or foe, within 12 inches of the Psyker have plus one bonus to their invulnerable saves, increasing it to 4 normally. This is cumulative with other modifiers to a demon's invulnerable saves. In addition, whilst the power is in effect, friendly units with the demon special rule will not scatter when arriving from Deep Psych Reserve, so long as they are placed within 12 inches of the Psyker. Not bad, you'll use it.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're Chaos Demons, you'll definitely use it because of the whole boost to the psychic fate, psychic or to the invuln.
Yeah, and you're only going to cast it if you just have extra dice, because you're always going to cast the Primaris summoning. That's all
you're gonna do. You're going to summon everything you possibly can every turn, right. And you have 3 summoning spells.
And you're just like, well, I also rolled up Cursed Earth, so whatever, let's see if this happens. Hey, look, my horrors have a 4+ invuln.
Hooray, and
Dark Flame
once because
exactly. Dark Flame, Warp Charge 1 is a Warp Fire, Witchfire. Dark Flame is a template, Strength 4, AP 5, Assault 1, Soul Blaze Torrent. Yay, I get a Flamer.
However, it's a torrent flamer, which makes it better than the heavy flamer you get in Pyromancy.
There you go, exactly.
And, like, that's why I said it. I'm just like, why would you just not take Demonology every time?
Infernal Gaze is a beam strength 8. Range 18, strength 3, AP 4, assault 1, armor bane, flesh bane. It's a throwaway. Even if you get it, you probably won't throw anything at it.
You know what? I was going to say, if you happen to get that one perfect shot where you can beam through like four rhinos on the side armor, you know, armor bane is at least giving you 2d6. So you'll take it. But again, it has to be that perfect shot where it's just like, I'm hitting five tanks with this.
This is so worth it. Exactly.
Let's do it.
Sacrifice is a conjuration with a range of 6 inches that creates one of the following of your choice. Herald of Khorne, Herald of Tzeentch, Herald of Nurgle, Herald of Slaanesh, which up to 30 points worth of options. Rules for these can be found in Chaos Demons. If this power is successfully manifested, one friendly model within 6 inches of the Psyker, or the Psyker himself, immediately suffers a single wound with no saves of any kind. Oh no, I'm trading up.
Oh no, that one Chaos Cultist that cost 5 points got killed to make me a Herald. You know, the interesting thing is, as I said, that 30 points of options. Because honestly, I feel like Sacrifice is better than Possession because of this.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because with 30 points, it means that you can put a Herald of Tzeentch on a disc, Herald of Slaanesh on a steed. The Herald of Slaanesh on a steed still has points to buy a Locus.
That's right.
You know, it's just, you have so many options. You can add Psyker Mastery levels.
Well, and again, if you're going Psyker, this Locus is just warp charges, more warp charges.
Well, and that's exactly
how long those fucking warp charges.
You go Herald of Tzeentch, make him Psyker Master level 2, right. Throw him into the summoned unit of Horrors. Right. That's now 3 additional warp charges.
Right.
If you played a Tzeentch Demon list like I was talking about with 15, you can add that. You can basically cast both of those spells twice.
Right.
Which is going to create 6 additional ones. So I started with 15 plus D6. Turn 2, I'm 21 plus D6.
And it's not then just three. It's not just
then,
three warp
then
charge
I can
tokens.
Add 3 more of them. So then I'm at 30 plus D6. So you're just like, come at me, bro. Like, I can literally just keep ramping this up. And because of the fact that it works, like, if I go 2, I just dump them both into Malefic Demonology again.
You're so excited about demons now, aren't summoning. You?
Honestly, yes, but I don't like how I paint my Tzeentch demon, so I'll probably never do it. Honestly, I'm just going to take Sanctic with... I'm probably going to run double Librarian in my Iron Hands and run Sanctic, to be honest.
Fair enough. What's awesome about this as well is that in the rules for conjuration spells, they do explain that if something comes on via conjuration that is a Psyker, you roll immediately for the power. So it's not just that you're getting more warp charges, you are getting additional.
And they also talk about how you can add musician standards and champions for free if you have the model. So, I mean, like, that's huge.
Your Primaris. Unit of 10, free champion, free banner.
And that's what I'm saying is even when I create the Herald of Tzeentch, who's a level 2, I'm getting 2 more rolls on Malefic. I'm getting another knowledge of summoning. I'm getting the Tzeentch Primaris because of the Chaos Familiar rule as well. So it's just like, I killed a 5-point cultist. It created a Herald of Tzeentch. He now knows 4 spells.
Mm-hmm.
Come at me, bro.
Incursion, Warp Charge 3 is a conjuration with a range of 12 that allows you to summon 3 Blood Crushers, 3 Screamers, 3 Plague Drones, or 3 Fiends. If you get it, you probably won't use it because you're always going to default to your Primaris. But it's definitely cool to look at it and go, you know what? I've already summoned 8 units onto the table. Why not? I'm going to go for some Blood Crushers.
I was going to say, but again, what I was saying, you could summon 3 Fiends and then summon a Herald on a Steed.
Mm-hmm. Throw them in that
with a Locus and throw them in that unit and just be like, come at me, bro. Like, well, it just,
and I mean, shit, you might have 37 dice. So you're just like, right. So first I'm going to summon.
Like, that's the thing is, like, if I don't move turn, like for her turns 1, 2, and 3, by the time turn 4 rolls around, I've got 30 plus warp charges because I've literally just been summoning.
Mm-hmm.
And because these are conjurations, you can't, like, all you can do is throw 6s. And because it's
right.
Warp this charge 3.
This is why it's better than
Sanctic. I hope you roll a lot of sixes.
This is why it's better than Sanctic.
We'll see.
There's no downside to just spamming. Like, it's absolutely incredible.
I was going
to
say, for me, the reason I prefer Sanctic is Sanctic has...
When we get there. Possession. Warp Charge 3 is a conjuration with a range of 6 that creates one of the following units of your choice. One Bloodthirster, one Lord of Change, one Great Unclean One, or one Keeper of Secrets. The rules for these units can be found in Chaos Demons. If this power is successfully manifested, the Psyker is immediately removed as a casualty. If the Psyker was part of a unit with the Brotherhood of Psykers or Sorcerer's Special Rule, remove the entire unit as casualties. If, when using this power, the Psyker fails his psychic test, he automatically suffers Perils of the Warp. Oh, no.
You'll never throw too few dice to fail it.
No, exactly. Great.
Like that's,
oh, no,
that's
it's not. It, yeah, exactly. You're well, going to double then, six or you're going to...
Because Possession replaces... Because, I mean, like, here's the thing. Sacrifice is better than Possession because you at least have the points to mm-hmm. juice your Herald. Because, like, you know, not saying that getting a greater demon is bad, because realistically what you're doing here is once you're...
You're trading up.
Well, once your Psyker is down to one wound and he's about to die, you trade up to the full wound greater demon. You're like, hooray! And even then, if you trade a Sorcerer of Tzeentch for a Lord of Change, you're still trading up and you're still keeping warp charges because
that's right.
Hooray for Psyker shenanigans.
That's right. Reroll all of your psychic abilities again. Maybe you get something better and just fucking go.
You know, and that's exactly... Because, like, the other thing that I was going to say is, like, if you had a level 3 Lord of Change, he gets down to one wound, he then possesses himself and becomes a full wound Lord of Change who downgrades to a level 2.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to bring up. They do not specify...
Boo!
They do not specify that your Psyker cannot do this again and then transform into a Great Unclean One and then transform into a Bloodthirster and then transform it. Like, it's well, so gonna, fucking yeah. stupid. Like, it's so crazy.
It is.
It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Possession, like I said, Possession is the one that you're always going to do when you're down to one wound. You're like, I could die quickly.
I'm going to throw 17 dice in Possession.
I'm going to throw everything I have to make sure that I get transformed the right way I need to be transformed.
Well, and here's the funny thing, right?
Come like, at
if,
me, bro.
If you go look at the rules for Perils of the Warp, the spell goes off, and then Perils of the Warp takes effect. So if I roll 15 dice and I roll 8 sixes, and I have to deal with the Perils of the Warp, the guy who suffered the Perils of the Warp is gone. He's removed from the table as a casualty. Greater Demon shows up. I don't even suffer it.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. So, I mean, like, again, there's no downside to Possession. Again, you know, I said it last week. I stand by it. Anyone who has access to Demonology, which is everyone but Tyranids, will take Demonology. Personally, I feel like, again, Malefic is going to be Chaos Demons, obviously, because they can't even take Sanctic. And Chaos Space Marines are going to be really happy taking it. I think anyone else that does, you're hoping to be able to spam it out because no one, like, maybe an Eldar army would have enough warp charge tokens to really abuse Demonology in their mm-hmm. benefit, but I think that they're going to do better things building bunkers that are going to max out on, you know, telepathy to get invisibility and divination. This and that. So, I mean, I don't really feel like Eldar armies will take advantage of it because they do have access to two great lores within mm-hmm. their book and the things that they can do and the combos that they can stack with is like, will I have fortune and invisibility and plus one to, you know, and a 4+ invulnerable save with plus one to my invulnerable save from Sanctic Demonology plus, you know, like just, I don't feel like they would. But Chaos Demons, for sure, with how many warp charges they can spam, are going to Malefic Demonology the fuck out of everything. Mm-hmm. And there's
so,
the only competitive demon army which we're going to see are going to be warp charge spam.
Of course. So I'm going to read the rule here from Perils of the Warp. Note that suffering a Perils of the Warp does not necessarily mean that the psychic power fails to manifest. Assuming that the psychic test was successful and that any Deny the Witch test has failed, the psychic power still manifests, regardless of whether or not the psyker in question suffers a wound or is slain by Perils of the Warp.
Which means it doesn't even
infect them.
So it's just like,
throw 12 dice at it, you become a greater daemon.
Yep.
Fuck.
And it's just like, off. I'm not even going to bother rolling on my perils because nothing matters. It doesn't
if you rolled
matter.
A 4 for the dice for that turn, so I got 4 dice to try to stop you. I have to, even if I rolled 4 sixes, I probably still won't stop you.
Well,
you
I
get
said,
it for free.
If I throw 12, I'll get 6 off. And
right.
Again,
like, if suffering a perils caused the spell to fail or the psychic power to fail, then I would be like, you know what? It does balance itself out. You're not going to always get shit for free. There is a drawback to this. But the way that it stands right now, again, go throw 10 dice at any single one of these powers. You're going to get it, and your opponent will never, ever stop it.
As I said last
week, it's unfair.
Literally, the only Psyker defense that exists in 40K right now is the fact that he could potentially not cast all seven spells he knows because he's run out of warp charges.
That's right.
Exactly. And that's literally it. That
and
is
he fluffed
your defense.
One.
Your defense is he can't cast as many as he used to be able to cast because, you know, leadership checks were auto passes, essentially.
Right.
I mean, like, I think in 50 games with Tyranids, because all of their psychers were leadership 10, I failed one, maybe two psychic checks.
Oh, so yeah. I remember playing against Jun Wong's Space Wolves. And this was a long time. It was 5th edition. And we were playing, and he had his, like, super psychic character. And it was like...
Vigil, and yeah.
Right. You know, three psychic powers a turn. Every single turn he got them. And it was just crushing me over and over and over again. And it's just like, ah, you know what? That's psychic powers in 40K. Woohoo! They don't fix it. Okay, so that is Malefic. Again, it's just... hilarious. If you roll a six, and again, you're probably going to get somebody with a six, for fuck's sake. It's going to happen. And when you get it, you throw it. You're just like, right, I'm upgrading this guy to a Lord of Change. Hey,
well, I said, you know, for me, I think it's not something you do right away because you're probably going to want to summon early. You're going to be using your primaries on summoning.
But you're thinking about your what? You're still thinking about it like Warhammer. You're thinking about your one level four might get this.
No, you're not thinking about the fact that
there's eight guys on the table and one of you
again.
Might
I get
up.
That, but like I said, honestly, I think that if you're playing a Chaos Demon army, your first priority is create more warp charges. So your possession is something that you're doing turn three, turn four. When you're just like, and I've just created two more Lords of Change because fuck your couch. Seriously, like, who gives a shit? But like I said, early on, you're going to spend the... you're going to try to play it as tight as you can. So you're going to throw six warp charges at summoning.
Oh, yeah. No,
I
don't
disagree. And you're going to get 10 horrors. And then you're going to throw two at sacrifice. You're going to get the Herald. He's going to go into the unit of horrors. He's going to be Psyker level two. And then your next six are going to go to summoning and then sacrifice. But, like, that's what you're doing for the first two turns. Mm-hmm. And then once you're at 30-plus warp charges, mm-hmm. that's when you just be like, and now every herald on the table that has it is now a Lord of Change. Because
right.
What are you going to do? I now have seven greater demons.
But here's the thing, Nathan. Even if you just roll summoning and you pull up that unit of pink horrors and then they roll it up.
Well, pink horrors
they just
know the one spell.
Right.
Like, that's the thing with them.
But, like, that's not what I was thinking. The, what's it called?
The Herald.
The Herald one.
I create a Herald who learned
possession.
He
rolled up six. Yay! He's now a fucking...
He is, and then he immediately becomes a Lord of Change.
A Lord of
who
Change.
Who knows these spells?
Because you know what they don't clarify is that if I use demonology to summon a Psyker, in that phase, does he then provide me with a warp charge that phase because that phase isn't over yet? And can he then cast that phase?
I would say no, because you have to generate your warp charge at the very beginning of the phase. So
maybe not the warp charge, but
he's not
ask.
Going to add in, but he can absolutely cast out of your existing pool, is what I would say. You know, so it's just like my first two dice create a Herald of Siege who learns
stupid.
Possession. Whose next six dice turn him into a Lord of Change, who learns these spells, who then, like, it just, yes.
Three Brotherhoods of Psykers. Three Brotherhoods of Psykers from Weird Vein.
Three Brotherhoods of Psykers, and let me just grab my guard.
And Malefic. All three with Malefic, oh, yeah. Just go.
Let me just grab that guard codex again. Let me see how many Primaris Psykers you can have, who are all Malefic as well. Because, again, why would you bother? 0-3. So you then have six rolls on the Malefic table to just try to create greater demons.
That's
all you're trying.
Spam it. Just go.
Oh,
sit them at the back corner of the table.
Level two.
Yeah.
So 180 on your three Weird Veins, another 225. So yeah, you're spending like 405 points of your guard army.
Like a quarter of your list.
In the attempt to
spam
create... Me. Well, but even then, every one of them knows summoning.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of Psyker focus.
Summoning and one other thing. So even if they roll a shitty
one. But again, your Psyker level two on your three Primaris know two other things. So
Sanctic. We've talked about that enough. Sanctic. Why is it better?
I feel like when you look at Malefic, You have your four summoning spells that are unbelievably good. Summoning, Sacrifice, Incursion, and Possession. That is the reason you take Malefic. Cursed Earth, like we said, is one of those, I guess I have it, I'll throw it. Dark Flame is kind of shitty. Infernal Gaze is kind of shitty. When you look at Sanctic, the only questionable power is your Primaris, and that one is freely known by everyone, so who cares? Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where if you run into someone spamming Malefic, Banishment is going to pay dividends. But otherwise, you just start looking at every single spell in Sanctic, and they are all absolutely fantastic. It's also an easier to cast lore because you have five psychic powers with Warp Charge 1. One with two, one with three versus three with three that Malefic has. So when you go through Banishment, like I said, it's really the only bad, quote-unquote, bad spell in there. It's a malediction that targets a single unit with the demon special rule within 24 inches. While it's in effect, all models in the target unit suffer minus one penalty to their invulnerable save, and it can't get worse than a 6+. So yay, if someone's spamming Malefic, you're prepared because you have Banishment. Otherwise, you're just not going to bother with it.
That's right.
But when you look at everything else, Gate of Infinity, it's a blessing that targets the Psyker, unless it's zooming or swooping, so flying. Remove him and his unit and deep strike them anywhere you need to be. Gate of Infinity, when it first popped up in the 4th edition Space Marine book, was one of the best psychic powers that they had access to. This is literally that spell. It's even named the same thing.
That's right.
Warp Charge 1, fantastic. Hammer Hand, blessing that targets the Psyker. Him and his unit have plus 2 strength. Holy shit. Like, that's better than the Hammer Hand that they gave Grey Knights because that was only plus 1.
That's right. When you're talking about Grey Knights, which is who we're going to primarily see this on, because it's Warp Charge 1, you're getting it. You're getting it.
All right.
Units are getting it.
They absolutely are, but I'm looking at this on Terminators. They're now strength 10.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for coming out. Because here's the thing. Sanctuary, this is the one that I'm just like, holy shit, does it work good with Space Marines. It's a blessing that targets the Psyker. While it's in effect, all models in his unit receive a plus 1 bonus to their invulnerable save. Models that do not have gain a 6+. In addition, all units with a demon, friend or foe, treat all terrain, including open ground, within 12 inches as dangerous. Now, who cares about that last sentence? But notice how there is no limit on how good that invulnerable save can be. Cast Sanctuary on Thunderhammer Storm Shield Terminators. Mm-hmm. You now have a unit with a 2+ invulnerable save for one fucking warp charge.
Yep.
That's the point where I'm just like, holy shit. Because again, if you look at it where I'm playing Space Marines, I have a 10-man Thunderhammer Storm Shield unit with two fucking Psykers and Terminator armor standing in that unit. I'm like, it's creating a Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if I get Sanctuary, they have a 2+ invulnerable save, and good luck killing any of them ever, because I will always have a 2+ invulnerable save. And because I'm not demons, you can't make it worse. Like, there's no power that we've covered today that makes blanket invulnerable saves worse.
Banishment. It's the Primaris for this.
But I don't have the demon special rule. So my Space Marines, who have a 2+ invulnerable save, cannot have that worsened. I mean, Shadow Fields are fucking unbelievably broken.
Oh, yeah.
2+ invulnerable save that Dark Eldar have.
Right.
Even then, they can have a maximum of 2. I can have a whole 10-man unit with a 2+ invul. All
right, so Purge Soil.
Purge Soul, Focused Wishfire within 24. It's old Mind War.
That's right.
I'm not going to read it. It's
old
Eldar Mind War. This is one of the ones where it's just like, oh yeah, if you get it, because it's a Focused Witchfire, you're going to use it to start using your Leadership 10 Psykers to snipe heavy weapons, special weapons, sergeants out of units, and you're going to do it reliably.
If you get it, you'll use it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of where I'm at, why I think that Sanctic is better. Because like with Malefic, if you get Cursed Earth, Dark Flame, or Infernal Gaze, you don't really care. You're never going to use them. Whereas with Sanctic, so far, I'm 4-for-4. Cleansing Flame is probably the worst, but it's still a Nova Heavy Flamer because it's still Assault, you know, 9-inch range, Strength 5, AP4, Assault 2d6, ignores cover. Soul Blaze is probably the most worthless rule they've ever added into the game, but oh my god, do they love it? Soul Blaze will do it's nothing.
Fucking everywhere.
It is everywhere. Soul Blaze will do nothing, but it is still a Nova heavy flamer. It's one of those things where, again, like if we're talking about that whole I'm with 10 Terminators with Thunderhammer Storm Shields and I'm marching up, once I'm in the thick of things, sure, I'll cast a Nova. Why right. not? There's lots of stuff around me. But finally, you have probably the best psychic power in the game.
Well, the most destructive. It's not the best. It's the most destructive.
Really, you think possession is better than a strength D vortex?
I think summoning is better than a strength D vortex.
Fair.
I think just the ability to sit there and have it as a Primaris and just on a good turn get 40 models onto the table. Like, that's fucking crazy.
It is crazy. But I mean, like, you look at Vortex of Doom, it's Warp Charge 3. It is the only Warp Charge 3 in Sanctic, unlike, like I said, Malefic that has three of them. Mm-hmm. It's a Witchfire power, or if when using the power, the Psyker fails his psychic test, he automatically suffers perils. It's odd that only Demonology has that little one. Mm-hmm. That caveat, both Vortex and Possession have the whole, well, if you fail to cast it, you'll suffer a perils, which I think was their way of saying, don't just hold your last three dice and hope, is really it. But I mean, these are both spells that are so good, you're throwing a lot of dice, you want them. Vortex of Doom is a 12-inch range, strength D, AP 1, assault 1, blast, vortex power. Vortexes work exactly like they do in fantasy. You're going to place it, it's going to scatter because it is a blast template. And then it's going to stay on the board, and in subsequent turns, it's going to 2d6 scatter on doubles, it disappears. Otherwise, it's going to do it. But like I said, this is why I love Vortex even more than summoning, is because your Vortexes stay on the board. It's literally just every turn, you're throwing it out. You're throwing it out. And if both of your librarians roll up Vortex, you're throwing two a turn, and you're just throwing them across the board and letting them just run around and be strength D. Because, you know, again, destroyer weapons in 40K, yes, they were toned down from what they were before, which we talked about last week, but they're still unbelievably good.
All right. That brings us to the weekly listener poll question for this week. Which of the two demon lores are better? You knew what was coming.
Right.
Which of the two demon lores are better, Sanctic or Malefic? You can cast your vote at Jaded Gator Cast. You can cast your vote at jadedgatorcast.com. Oh, he's a big one.
It is an apex predator that hasn't needed to change for 65 million years. Did you see Godzilla? Not yet. I keep telling my wife. Shit. See, what's funny is when Pacific Rim came out, I thought it was just going to be super cheesy and everything in the trailer, tacked on love story and everything. And I was pleasantly surprised when we saw it. So my wife wanted to see it. I didn't. Godzilla is literally the opposite, where I'm like, we need to go see Godzilla. And the wife is like, eh, it's going to be lame. And I'm like, fuck.
It's so lame. All right. So that brings us to the end. I think we've said everything we need to say about the psychic phase, about the psychic powers, about the lores. Obviously, demonology is the way to go. Outside of that, biomancy and divination are going to work for you. And if you don't have any other choice, telepathy, sure, why not? So let's move on to the stupidity check for this week. God damn it, we're here.
Yeah, I was going to say, it has been a while since we've had a stupidity
check. That's right. Check, so, Nathan, take it away.
All right. So, for those of you not in the know, Spartan Games, our favorite purveyor of Fleet Games, has just released Dystopian Wars version 2.0. And unlike Firestorm Armada, this is the first time they've used second edition as a term. And like Firestorm Armada, they decided that they were going to cut all previous rules. They don't count. They don't work. Nothing before this version of the rules is going to count. And the big old stupidity check is going right back to Spartan Games, because just like Firestorm Armada, they basically said, fuck you, people who play armies other than the ones we want you to buy.
Other than the core fleets.
Yes. So with Firestorm Armada, when they released second edition, they released the six core fleet rules. A month later, they released Alliance of Kirok and Zenian League rules, which is curious because the six core fleets all talked about how they had natural alliances and alliances and they belong to this. So
the rules.
So they literally said, these are rules. And you can take these ships, but fuck it, we're not going to give you the rules for the first, you know, for the first month.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a Marauders of the Rift player, I'm so sorry, you are still waiting. I mean, it's been 7 months. You would think that in 7 months they would have been able to release rules for you, but if you thought that, you're a piece of shit asshole.
Well, and I know they've been playtesting them for a long fucking time, and I cannot believe that with what I've seen that they're... I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, this is basically a finished copy. There is nothing stopping them from releasing this outside of a couple of typos.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple typos, and they were missing a page one piece of art.
That's right.
Was all they were missing. Now, I know from talking to a mutual friend of ours who's big into Dystopian Wars, who is actually one of their Outriders, whatever that program for them is called. Spartan Vanguards, that's it. Right. Is it Dystopian Wars Spartan Vanguard? He has seen copies of the Alliance rules. He knows they exist in much the same way we know Marauders of the Rift rules exist, yet they are nowhere to be found. So as of this moment right now, the only fleet that I have is 100% unplayable because thanks, Spartan Games. And that's why, for me, I'm super worried because unlike Alliance of Kurok and Xenian League, which were referenced and mentioned and this and that, Alliance have always been Alliance fleets in Dystopian 1.1 have always been off to the side. Like, to give you an idea, my fleet had Mars that were not in the core Dystopian 1.1 rulebook,
right,
but which were added in an expansion book.
Right, similar to Marauders of the Rift. Yeah.
So that's why I'm looking at it where I'm just like, am I going to be waiting like 7+ months? Because again, Marauders players still don't have rules. And it has been 7 months since Firestorm Marauders. And these are
fleets that have been purchased, that are sitting on shelves, that are waiting to be played, that have no opportunity to be played. And I mean, it is fucking stupid. It's completely backwards. And I mean, I'm not going to say, oh, it's lazy, because I get it. They're a small company. They're doing the best they can. They're trying to get stuff out as quickly as they can. They're using Outriders to beta test. They're trying to figure the rules out. They're trying to sort it. And to be perfectly honest with you, again, I mean, we've seen, what, 3 updates to the game since it was released? It's just, but why aren't these in the updates, right? Like, I get
the core fleets have had 3 separate updates, and this most recent one for Firestorm Armada 6 months out also included errata and FAQs.
That's right.
They did some actual balance tweaking, which I appreciate. I love the fact that they are reacting to where they've said, hey, listen, people have had 6 months to play. These are the things that we found, which is great. They're addressing them. But why is it that they're literally shitting on people that have bought their own product?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like if my only fleet was a Marauders fleet, I don't think I would ever play a Spartan game ever again because of just how fucked up that they've acted. I mean, realistically, like I said, it's been more than half a year, and I still, you know, if you're a Marauders player, you still don't have rules to play the fleet that you've purchased, the fleet that you have painted. Because, I mean, this isn't an issue where they're like, well, we've released some rules, but there's no models, so if you want to convert them, go nuts, but we're not really supporting them. Like, these are actual models that they produced.
Well, yeah, John Kingsway has a full-on Corsair fleet, full Corsair fleet, ready to go, painted, can't play it.
Yep. Well, and again, like, I've never been more grateful in my life that I never took on the hobby project of Pathogen, because I've always loved Pathogen. Yeah. You know that. Like, even when Marauders came out, I was like, those two ships they have, the battleship and the escorts, are the coolest looking ships they've ever done. I love the idea of, like, fucking techno space zombies. It's super cool. I've always loved Pathogen. And the only reason I never took it on is I was never big into the second edition version of the rules, and it wasn't until second edition came out that I really got into Firestorm, you know, before I painted anything, before I, you know, really played. So, I mean, if I had been big and I'd done the time and the effort to buy and convert, I would honestly never play that. I would never play a Spartan game ever again because, like, how can you as a company, like, it would be like Games Workshop releasing 7th edition and instead of being the same edition again, altering the game system to the point where codexes can't work. So we're talking D10s, right. D20s, you know, armor, save modifiers, not AP. Like, literally every codex is invalid. And then only releasing rules for armies of the Imperium and Chaos Armies and saying, hey, Xenos players, fuck yourselves. We don't care about you. Like, it's absolutely...
Well, it's not even them saying, go fuck yourselves. It's just them saying, like, no, 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 trust me, we'll get to you. And then, like, closing the DMV gate. You know what I mean? Like, all right, guys, right? You guys just hang out. We'll be right back. The gate latches shut and everyone's just kind of sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
Days go by. They start eating each other. All right.
So I mean,
that
like
is
I said,
a stupidity check,
you know, because the big thing for me and why it has to be a stupidity check is we talked about this when they released, Firestorm Armada.
Yep.
Because again, like they've done everything wrong again. And that to me is the stupidity check, is they haven't learned their lesson. Because I mean, when they released Firestorm Armada, they said these are the 6 core fleets, and if you want tack cards, buy a fucking starter set, asshole. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, Dystopian Wars, I think I haven't gotten my second edition rule set because as part of their fucked up strategy, retailers get it last because we're Spartan Games. Fuck retailers and people that promote our games, and you know, play them especially. Fuck them the worst.
Well, and it's like I've said, they're lucky they have a great game. They're lucky they have a great game with great models. That's that is their saving grace right now.
Just like I said, when you look at the Dystopian Wars things, we have, because like you said, it did come out 2 days ago.
Yeah,
that was the official launch date, was 2 days ago. We have 7 new fleet lists for their 7 core fleets. We have a couple of stats for, you know, a couple of new guys. And then you just have templates and markers and tokens. Tack cards are still missing. So exactly the same bullshit that they did with Firestorm Armada.
Oh, yeah. That's not them learning their lesson. That's them looking back at what they did going like, this fucking worked. Man, we sold more patrol boxes than we would have otherwise. But everybody now just knows you have to wait a month.
Patrol boxes aren't available till next month.
No shit.
So unlike Firestorm Armada, where it's just like with the launch, they released patrol boxes. The only thing that came out 2 days ago was the rule book, which sure as fuck doesn't have tack cards, and the 2-player starter set, which is the only way to get tack cards at right now. Next month, June 18th, they will finally release new patrol fleets, and like, you know, because Dystopian is both land and sea,
right.
You're getting new, you know, naval battle groups and you're getting armored battle groups. I don't know if they have tack cards. Oh yeah, 1 tack deck. Yes. So you actually have to wait a month to get your tack cards unless you bought a starter set.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because, you know, I mean, like, I'm a sucker enough to buy a starter set because I'm like, I need the rules and I need a fleet that I can actually play.
Yeah.
So I'll get a starter set. Like, but oh my God, how is it that this company hasn't learned anything? Like, they are still treating their customers like second-class citizens. Like, who the fuck are they in business for? They clearly hate their customers and they clearly hate retailers who carry their game. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, Spartan Games?
Yeah.
Failed right. Stupidity.
Failed
check.
Stupidity check. I'm not gonna add anything to that.
Well, I was gonna say, at least you never got into Dystopian.
No,
Wars.
Man.
Oh, wait Steve. Till second edition. Yeah, but even when like Tom and I played a game, you're like, this game looks fun.
Well,
maybe
like
when
I said,
second edition comes out.
The thing about it that caught my attention. Because I could never quite put my finger on it, right? I'm not a fan of the models. And actually going through all of the new models, there still isn't anything that I'm really like, yeah, that.
See,
I'm more
me,
begrudgingly like, sure, I'll do a Federated States of America. Like, that's kind of all I really feel about it.
See, I was going to say, for me, the 2 fleets that, like, for me, actually have something, like, I feel like there are only 3 fleets in all of Dystopian Wars that have a unique aesthetic, and that's Covenant of Antarctica, Empire of the Blazing Sun, and Federated States of America. Like, really, there's no real difference between Russia, France, Prussia, and Britain. Like, that's why for me, I'm like, none of those four fleets really appeal to me because there is nothing going for the aesthetic. At least Covenant is trying to look all 50s sci-fi with saucers and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And Federated States of America is just like, well, we got steamboat, like the fucking paddle boats that went up the Mississippi River with armor. And I'm like, that's cool. But yeah, I totally get it. Like, there are a lot of fleets that I didn't care of. Like, even for me, when I was getting into it, I got into it when I did because there was a Dystopian Wars tournament coming up at Imaginary Wars. And I was like, hell yeah, I'll play fleet games. I'm loving fleet games. And when I looked through the entire range, the Chinese fleet that I settled on looked unique. Because realistically, I think the Chinese and the Turks,
I do like the Chinese, the
Ottomans, have the single most unique aesthetic in all of Dystopian Wars. And both of those fleets are 100% unplayable because fuck rules for them.
Well, and again,
although, you know what? Ottoman players, fuck you anyway. You deserve it. But as a Chinese player who's suffering, the game is better without Ottomans.
Well, I'm like I said, had you not picked up Chinese, that's what I would be playing because they're the only fleet that I remotely like. Anyways, what I was trying to say was that the thing that I was able to put my finger on while you guys were playing was that the scale is 1-to-1. You know what I mean? Like, the distance to this ship to that ship is the distance. It's not, okay, so imagine that the flight peg is like, okay, this many super space kilometers, and then are shooting across the gulfs, and it's not actually this size, and these ships aren't really here, and this planet's not actually this. You know, like, it's 1-to-1, and I like that. Mm-hmm. So, I think that was the thing that did draw me in.
You know, for me, I do like that, and the reason why I prefer Dystopian Wars as a game to Firestorm Armada is the fact that line of sight is line of sight, so it's just like, you can't, like in Firestorm, you can fly in this tight box formation and you can move, so it's just like, your starboard or port batteries are showing towards the enemy, and your two ships on the outside are obviously clear line of sight, and then your other two ships are touching base contact with the two, you know, the other ones, and you can shoot through everything. But it's just like in Dystopian Wars, it's like, dude, there's a boat in the way. You can't shoot through your own boat. You're gonna fuck it up. And you're like, oh yeah. So I find, like, when I play Dystopian Wars, movement is more important than it is in Firestorm, and in Firestorm it's super important. Like, that's for me, like, realistically, that is the number one reason why I prefer Dystopian Wars to Firestorm Armada, is movement is even more important. And if my dice were any indication at the last Firestorm tournament I went to with my Terrans...
They're still going on about it.
Anything... No, but I mean, like, you know, anything that you can do to add more skill and less luck, I'm a fan of, and Dystopian Wars does that. So, like, realistically, they're the same system.
Until you get that new rule book.
There are... Yeah, I mean, who knows what second edition is going to look like. Although, I will say it, a change from Firestorm Armada is they're actually letting retailers sell the two-player starter set. So once Kyle at Imaginary Wars gets one in, then I will finally be able to get a fleet with rules and the rules themselves. And we'll see if I still really like it.
That has been Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.